I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, May the 4th. You hate to see the lack of Star Wars people hanging out in the streets. Unfortunately, social distancing still happens, so we can't do May the 4th be with you. It sucks for you, Sean. We've got a Super Friends show today. I don't know why I took a weird drive-by attack at the at Star Wars.
You're a bad person. That's
I was going to say, only one person on this podcast actively uses a Star Wars mug during this podcast, and that's Ryan Wilson.
By the way, on May the 4th, my wife and my kids are making May the 4th Star Wars-themed food. So we're having blue milk, Sean. We're having some kind of Sarlacc thingamabobber. I'll put pictures on the old gram. You can check them out. I'm not any part of this. I'll just be eating it.
See, this is the thing, real quick. Ryan dunks on me for being a nerd and like liking Game of Thrones and Star Wars, and he is secretly more of a Star Wars nerd than I am.
Well, I just want you guys to know, I only take part in Revenge of the Fifth because that also is Cinco de Mayo, so it's like a double holiday for me, so you guys can suck it.
I didn't know Revenge of the Fifth was a thing.
Yeah, it is now.
All right.
That's where Breach buys a fifth of Jose Cuervo and tries to drink it as fast as humanly possible.
Before the baby starts crying.
And then the fifth gets revenge on his wife. Have you seen the Padma Lashki video, the clip that she posted? You know Padma, right?
I saw you retweet her, so I thought she was probably someone you were trying to get you to follow you or something.
Settle down. It's Padma from Top Chef. She's a world famous celebrity.
Nobody saw what your tweet was.
She's
well,
like,
I mean, clearly she's not world famous because 75% of the people on this podcast don't know who she is.
Well, I mean, half of this podcast is like, we're liking Star Wars cupcakes. Padma was like, here's how to make a proper margarita during quarantine.
Oh, I did see that. I didn't know who that was, though.
She makes it, and she's like, yeah, that's pretty good. It needs a little more tequila. And then it's like, it says F it really loudly and just chugs the entire bottle of tequila, which may or may not have been apple juice, but it was still an amusing little anecdote, I thought.
Good story.
Good story. Now I have $20 that I've got to tell you about. Andy Dalton, by the way, download, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. You know it's the off season when we're talking about Padma Lashki tweets before we get to any football news. But look, it's going to be a slow period. Okay. Settle in, buckle your seatbelt, and we're going to put it on cruise control and we'll get through this. The schedule is coming out. We'll be talking about that later this week. Hopefully, assuming it comes out. Additionally, we would beg you please to, recommend the podcast to one friend. Just go tell one friend, one random friend about it. You know, when they ask you to stand up in church and shake the person next to his hand, go tell one friend about it. It's a church humble brag, Ryan. No big deal. And,
why are you saying to me? I used to do that all the time on Sundays.
I know.
Can't do it now, though.
Won't be doing it anymore. That's right. Wave to a friend. We were talking Andy Dalton and fifth-year options on this podcast. Also, make sure and check out our CBS Sports HQ show, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time every day on CBS Sports HQ, our 24/7 streaming sports network. You can go check that out. We will be.
You know what you can see on that show? I don't know if Debo saw this. I think it was on Thursday. Debo, during a commercial break, I went to use the bathroom, muted my microphone, came back, and was yelling and screaming at Brinson. Riley, the producer's like, you're on mute. So I was on air No, actually, luckily there's a graphic, so there's a lot of dead silence. Brinson picked it up, but I had muted myself, which I often do on this podcast.
How many?
Riley's like, Wilson's audio's out. Carry it. I was like, what? Like, I didn't know.
Just muted myself.
How many bathroom breaks per week?
That was different because I had been sitting there doing something previously. I think we had the podcast that day. We did the podcast from 2 to 3. I did a couple radio hits. And so typically I can sit still for an hour. I make no guarantees this hour, however.
It is amazing that you couldn't make it through an hour show without using the bathroom.
Look at Sean. Like, that's going to make me have to go to the bathroom. He's showing me a picture of a mug of beer.
Okay. Moving along. Andy Dalton signed with the Dallas Cowboys late on Saturday night. A borderline shocking development, I think, is a fair way to put it. Like,
how shocked were each of you?
Well, I would have been more shocked if I didn't listen to John Breach when he talks on the podcast.
The Cowboys at plus 900. I don't think the Cowboys would bring in – I don't think Cooper Rush is the answer at backup quarterback. I don't think they would bring in Cam Newton because that's threatening to Dak Prescott. That is somebody – I don't think Dak Prescott would be happy with that. But the Cowboys went out and signed Andy Dalton. I think Dak Prescott is fine with that. He says, all right, we want to be a Super Bowl team. We need to have a quality backup, and I'm fine with Andy Dalton being my backup. I don't think he's fine with Cam Newton being his backup.
That was Thursday night, and that was John Breach calling his shot, baby. The Breacher Report shows up and nails it, predicting that the Dallas Cowboys could end up getting Andy Dalton. So, Breach, take your victory lap. Been a good offseason for you. You've nailed some bolder predictions, and you nailed that one.
Yeah, quarterback predictions are going to be my new thing. Brady the Buccaneers. Now we got Dalton to the Cowboys at plus 900. I'm going to take the money I want and buy an Andy Dalton Cowboys jersey and wear it every day in front of Jared Dubin and Patrick Walker, our resident Cowboys fans.
Have you thought about that fact yet, that you're sort of rooting for the Cowboys now?
I mean, I'm not rooting for the Cowboys.
Reach, don't fall for it. They did the same thing when Cutler signed with the Dolphins. Don't fall for it.
I am rooting for Andy Dalton.
I can't stress this enough, Sean. You got to stop bringing up Jay f***ing Cutler, okay? Stop bringing him up.
Brinson is feisty.
Yes.
It's just like you're like, it's like somebody's like.
But you're playing the hits though. You're doing the exact same thing. I already relived this once. Breach can root for Andy Dalton's success while being a Bengals fan.
No one cares about Jay Cutler, okay? I mean, I
care about Jay Cutler.
No one cares about Jay Cutler.
I care about
Andy Dalton podcast. Every time we talk about Andy Dalton, you don't have to be like, you know, I went through a similar thing with Jay Cutler several years ago, Breach.
I'm all trying to be a friend to Breach, and like you guys who are trying to dunk on him every chance you get because the Bengals cut.
No. You're like the guy who, like, somebody dies, you're like, I had a wonderful interaction with him one time, and ended up like humble bragging about the
Right. Can you believe this is Brinson doing this, the guy who has to make everything about him all the time? Oat milk has to be about him.
you guys are both making the salient points. I understand what Brinson's saying, but I do understand what Sean is saying as well. I will say this though, Breach, you did nail it. I was shocked when I saw it. We should have known, I guess. He owns a house in Dallas. He played at TCU. I guess he probably spends the offseason in Texas. No one ever thought to ask because no one cared about Andy Dalton once the season was over when the Bengals didn't go to the playoffs or went to the playoffs and lost. But I guess this does make sense. So the other thing is, and Brinson, I saw you tweet this. This is one of the things that I love about Twitter. Like, someone tweets something that you follow, and then because you follow Brinson, for example, you see the first thing he retweets. And he says, he put the old GIF in there, let's get ready to get ratioed, because someone tweeted
Mike Florio wrote an article saying that, like, the Cowboys could rescind Dak Prescott's franchise tag after signing Andy Dalton. Like, come on. All right,
that is crazy, but let me ask you this question that each of you can answer. Would you rather have Andy Dalton at $7 million or Dak Prescott at $35
million? Dak Prescott, $35 million.
Okay. That's it. That only took a second. I thought you would think more about it.
Would you rather have Jameis at $1 million or Andy Dalton at $3 to $7
million? See, that's a good question.
If you're the Cowboys. Or the Saints, it doesn't matter.
If I'm the Cowboys, I think I might rather have Dalton. Okay, so hold on. We're getting a little splayed out here. Let's wrap up this. Let's discuss the Dalton fit first. I mean, somebody, like, to me, it makes – people are like, Dalton to the Cowboys? This is outrageous. Why would you do that? Well, a couple of factors here. One, this is a really – first of all, it's a one-year deal. Two, this is a very weird offseason where you can't travel and work with new teams. You're not going to have OTAs, et cetera, et cetera. Three, Andy Dalton has a house in Dallas. He is from Katy, Texas, which is just outside of Houston and very close to Dallas. He went to TCU for college. This is home for him. And so in a time where you're not allowed to travel and you don't know what the future holds in terms of being able to, you know, move around, he basically gets to go back home to Dallas and set up shop this offseason, and that's where he will be for the duration of the offseason. So I think that's a big factor. Additionally, if you're the Cowboys, you have invested in your offense to the point where you signed Amari Cooper to a $100 million deal. You paid Zeke Elliott. You have drafted Michael Gallup in the third round. You drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round. You have a good offensive line. You have Joe Looney, baby. you are all in on this year, and Cooper Rush, but we don't know if he's going to be a competent backup. If Dak Prescott gets hurt or Dak Prescott decides that he's not going to play because they won't give him a deal, you have a great piece of insurance in Andy Dalton at just $7 million max. So I think it makes a world of sense for a team with a high floor in 2020 to get a guy like Andy Dalton instead of risking it on a Cooper Rush, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing with the Saints and Jameis.
I'll just say real quick that you can literally look to last season. Stephen Jones probably went on to Jerry's yacht and said, look, we need a good backup quarterback. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, if Matt Moore doesn't win that one game, they don't get the second seed in that first round bye. If Matt Moore goes 0-2 instead of 1-1, he beat the Vikings, they finish in the third seed, the Patriots get the two seed. Who knows if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl in that case? You look at the Saints, if they don't have Teddy Bridgewater and he doesn't go 5-0 while they're out, you know, who knows if they get to the playoffs, if their season falls apart because they're letting Taysom Hill start for five games. So I think people did realize that you need a quality backup because you never know when your quarterback is going to go down. Although I will say Dak Prescott has never missed a game in his entire career. So I don't know if Andy's ever going to see the field.
But from Dalton's perspective, and Brinson just alluded to this, if he had agreed to go to the Cowboys, if this had happened at the beginning of free agency, I think all of us would have been, this doesn't make quite that much sense. Why wouldn't he go get a starting job somewhere? Cause he's good enough to start. But at this point in the calendar, there's really like only one team right now that could use a starter, and that's the New England Patriots. And clearly they have just not been as interested as we all thought they'd be this entire process. So you look at it.
The Jaguars. Like, if Andy Dalton had gone to Jacksonville, you could argue that he should probably be the starter.
Sure. Okay.
You could argue that if he went to Chicago, and there are a lot of teams where he could go and have some competition. But, like, yeah. Even in Jacksonville, I think he would be it would be a weighted competition towards Gardner Minshew.
But my point being, so with the absence of a clear starting job on a good team, his next best option is to go to a team like the Cowboys. And at the very least, he's going to sit on the bench for a year. And I don't think his stock is going to be lower at this time next year, when hopefully by then teams can actually, you know, visit with free agents and he can go work out with teams and he can get into a new building and actually learn a new offense. Best case scenario, Dak Prescott, for whatever reason, whether it's injury or contract stuff, doesn't play the full season and he gets to step in there. And you look at that talented team, I would bet, put up pretty good numbers, significantly better numbers than he did in Cincinnati. And then he gets to enter free agency again, coming off a very good fill-in season. And I do think at that point he will be wanted by a team to start. So I don't really see this as hurting his stock. I think the only way, maybe it'll stay the same, but, you know, best case scenario, he increases his value moving forward.
I think both Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston could sit on the bench every single game next year and come out and make more money heading into 2021. Jameis, because he's with Sean Payton and Drew Brees and all that, and Andy Dalton because he's a good quarterback. I think either way is fine. And maybe Andy Dalton is at the point in his career where he doesn't care about being a starter, and maybe he's going to retire after this year. He's already moved all his stuff back to Katy, Texas, as Brinson pointed out. He's closer to his family, and maybe he doesn't care. I mean, that could also be a possibility. What is he, Breach, 32, 31?
Yeah, I think he's 31.
Yeah, so he could play five more years if he wanted to, but maybe he's at the point of his career, he's got enough money, he doesn't have to worry about it, that he's like, yeah, I'll just do this, and I'm happy to be Dak's backup.
He is 32, Ryan, you were right the first time. Let me just ask you guys this then.
Whoa.
What?
You didn't know how old Andy Dalton was?
He's had keep track of his birthdays. I thought he was 31. I was 6 months off. He had a birthday in October. There's a lot of birthdays to keep track of, Brinson. I have only slept 3 hours since April 7th. There's a lot of jumbled mess going on in my brain right now.
Sean, how old is Jay Cutler?
36. Oh. I was actually going to point out, Breach actually knew it was Jay Cutler's birthday on the show like 3 days ago, but he doesn't know when Andy Dalton's birthday.
And guess what? You were wrong because he just turned 37. So Sean didn't know either. Get out of here, Sean.
What was your question, Breach?
My question was going to be, do you think, and obviously, look, I'm the Andy Dalton super fan here. I don't think Andy Dalton is starting ahead of Dak Prescott. I would be the one who would make that argument. I'm not going to make it. I know I didn't know his birthday. I'll be docked down. I'm going to be demoted from vice president of Andy Dalton fan club to like secretary, but that's fine. That is fine.
I'm going to text Andrew Perloff, who listens to this program, and has been on the show, friend of the program, and a self-professed huge Andy Dalton fan, and see if he knows what Dalton's birthday is.
There's your humble brag, Sean. He got it in. Okay, go ahead.
And by the way, he brought up Jay Cutler again, even though he yelled at me for
breaking. Here is my question. Do you think this impacts Dak Prescott's negotiations? Do you think the Cowboys, like, if Dak's asking for 37, the Cowboys don't want to pay 34, do you think we're not going up 37? We have Dalton. Like, dude, just sign your franchise tender. We're not paying you 37 or 40 million. Do you think this has any impact on the negotiations?
If I'm Dak or his agent, absolutely not. You can sign whoever you want to sign. You can trade for Drew Brees. You can trade for Tom Brady. It does not matter. I'm going to get what I think I'm worth. None whatsoever. And the Cowboys find that out. If they want to roll with Andy Dalton and, you know, win 9 or 10 games with Andy Dalton and get to the playoffs and lose, then, you know, Jerry says every year, I'm getting a year older. He pulls out the Sean Wagner McGuff thing. So I'd like to win a Super Bowl. Well, he ain't going to do it with Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
No, I like Andy Dalton, but let's be real about it.
Yeah, maybe the Cowboys try to use that argument. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'd say, fine, enjoy your life with Andy Dalton. I will play on the tag, and I will leave Dallas as soon as I'm able to because – Dalton can. I think the Cowboys with Dalton could win 9 or 10 games. Like, I think they could make the playoffs, but they're not. I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl with Dak, and I think the ceiling with Dak is Super Bowl.
And that's the other thing. That defense, a lot of questions. We don't know about Leighton Vander Esch's health. We know Sean Lee always struggles with health. He's coming back. And how's this Mike McCarthy offense going to work? I mean, Dak knows it as well as Andy Dalton at this point, but I don't. We just all agreed that we'd rather have Dak Prescott. So if you want to roll with Andy Dalton, knock yourself out. I just don't think it's a wise decision.
For the record, Perloff did not know what Andy Dalton's birthday was.
Thank God.
So, Breach, you can keep your place.
In, but thankfully, we know that you have Perloff's number in your phone.
He's been on the show.
Accomplished the point of the story.
It's not what
he's with these humble brags. Sean doesn't know Jay Cutler's birthday. Breach doesn't know Dalton's birthday. I have Andrew Perloff's phone number. Get out of here, Brinson.
I love Anchorage Breach.
My favorite is that Perloff, like the best is like that Dan Patrick spent an entire segment talking about Sean's irrational, well, now less irrational than it was before. Patrick Mahomes is better than Brett Favre claim, which was a year to, like, you know, by now you'd probably take it.
It's aging well.
Yeah, it is aging well.
It'll probably keep aging well.
Yeah, probably so. Okay. Anyway, Stephen O put out some numbers, our guy from Sportsline. He said that with Dak Prescott, the Cowboys averaged 9.3 wins in the Sportsline simulations. With Andy Dalton, 8.5 wins, which is kind of staggering. I mean, like, it's kind of staggering.
So that $27 million extra buys you 0.8 wins.
When do you want the wins? You want them in October or do you want them in January?
Is he winning games in January? That team hasn't been in the NFC title game.
Dak has won a playoff game.
What a big jam! Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away! Did you do, Dunkaroos?
This is the greatest soundbite. I hope the people who listen to this podcast aren't sick of that soundbite because it ain't going away.
By the way, I like that Dak has already won a playoff game, and in like one game alone, his first ever playoff game, he threw more touchdowns than Dalton did in his entire playoff career.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Breach? You won a playoff game.
I don't know what Sean's talking about. His first ever playoff game, he lost to the Packers 34-31.
He threw three touchdowns. I said
he
threw
lost,
more touchdowns.
He lost. Andy Dunn lost. Why would you think you would pick a game where he won?
My point was he did more in one playoff game than Dalton did in his entire playoff career.
The point of playoff is to win, Sean, and he lost. That's it.
Thank you, Herman.
So you signed Andy Dalton to fix that problem. I see.
Yeah. By the way, Dez Bryant tweeted, nothing against Andy Dalton because I think he's a great player, but the Cowboys are extremely out of line. Pay Dak. I watched the Cowboys pay Tony twice, once without a winning record. I guess the Cowboys viewing the quarterback position a plug-in piece because of the dominant offense. I don't think it affects the Dak talk. I do think it is like they're not doing it in any way attempting to replace Dak Prescott. That would be foolish, and I don't think the Cowboys are that stupid. I also believe that Jerry Jones believes he found Dak, and so he'll want to pay Dak forever. But I do think that this is a potential piece of leverage against Dak Prescott to be able to say, hey, look, we have a veteran. Like, if you want to hold out, we got a guy. Now, there's a report out there. It was Mike Fisher of SI, who used to be with 247 maybe. And he said that the hang-up is that the Cowboys want 5 years and Dak's team wants 4 years. If that's the hang-up, what are we doing, people? Like, you won't sign him to a four-year deal? Sign Dak already.
Well, maybe the guaranteed money. It might not just be the length of the contract. Maybe the Cowboys are saying 5 years more security, so you only get $34 million. Dak's saying 4 years, $36 million. You know, there could be some nuances in there.
I'm sure they're not identical 4 and 5 year contracts, right? I would assume so.
By the way, I would imagine if Gutekunst and LaFleur gave Aaron Rodgers the heads up, they're taking Jordan Love. You would imagine that the Joneses did the same for Dak about signing Andy Dalton. We haven't heard it, but I can't imagine they would just do it and not tell him. Point that the leverage thing, I don't think that plays into it.
No, I mean, I don't think it's a lot of leverage, but it's at least, again, like back to my original point. He's a nice insurance policy. If something with Dak goes south for whatever reason, and to the Florio thing, just to wrap, to put a bow on that. If the Cowboys were going to rescind the franchise tag on Dak Prescott, they would simply trade him to someone. You could get 2 first-round picks for Dak Prescott, in my opinion.
Okay. At this point, the proceedings, Sean touched on it. Who's taking him?
Yeah. And that's it. And that was the point of Florio's thing, is if you rescind the franchise tag, who has the $35 million per year to sign him right now?
I mean, you can figure out a way to do it.
Who? Like, name a team. Don't say the Patriots, because clearly
the Colts. The Colts.
The Thanks. Colts are not signing Dak Prescott.
Why not?
Why? Yeah.
What are you
they
gonna
have Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers.
That's not a reason not to sign a 26-year-old franchise quarterback who's going to be there for 10 years.
And they're going to sign him to $35 million a year with their $23 million cap space?
Yes. You just go, you like, hey, listen, Dak, we're going to go turbo low. We're going to like reverse flip it. If you find a way to do it.
Reverse flip it? What do you, Philbit?
I think
backload the contract. No, I get it.
I feel like there are like 20 teams that would want him instantly.
All right, that's one.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah, hell yes. Are you kidding me?
Ryan Pace is not going to say, okay, I screwed up by taking Dak Prescott. He'll say, okay.
He just didn't pick up Trubisky's 5th-year option. That is saying I screwed up.
And he traded for Nick Foles. Traded something for Nick Foles.
Here's the deal.
He's walking around in a shirt that says, I screwed up this offseason. That's all his shirt is worn during quarantine. I screwed up.
He's trading for Nick Foles says, I'm not willing to admit I wholly made a mistake. I'm taking a guy who's basically the same thing as Mr. Trubisky. I'm not bringing in a future franchise quarterback. Nick Foles is not the answer to any question in terms of turning.
Exactly, and that's why they would want Dak Prescott.
The Patriots would find a way to pay Dak Prescott.
I don't know. I'm with Brees.
We got Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. We're fine.
The Patriots have $1.7 million in cap space. That would be an issue.
You can cut. You could rescind Joe Tooney's tag and sign down. About that? Because they do that in a heartbeat.
That would do it, but, I mean, you're going to cut your star guard and bring in a quarterback. Now he has no protection.
Yeah.
And who cares about 2020 if he can't learn the offense? You're playing for the next 10 years.
Yeah. I think the Saints would consider like cutting Jameis.
The 49ers would be like, we can get out of this Garoppolo deal in a year.
Okay. Do you think the Raiders would be like, no, we have Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. We're fine. No, they're slicing and dicing and signing Dak immediately. The Chargers wouldn't do it.
Not signing 2 first-round picks. That was what you said.
Okay, no, you then followed up and said, who's signing him?
So, no, I followed up and said that. Ryan's original point was no one's giving him 2 first-round picks. Boom.
Thank you. Play the music. Cue it up. You confused me.
The Patriots would give the Cowboys 2 first-round picks for Dak.
I just want to know who said this. Tell me who said this. The Patriots are trying to tell you they like Jared Stidham. Listen to him already. Yes, who said that?
They do.
Who said that? Sean, who would be your guest? 21 hours.
I saw that tweet and I tried to erase it from my mind right away. So thanks, Ryan, for bringing that back up.
Do you think the Jaguars would give up 2 first? They have the Rams first round pick next year too. They give up the Rams and the Jags pick for Dak right now. The Jags would be interesting if they did that.
Why wouldn't they just sign Andy Dalton for $3 million?
Dak is better than
because him. Dak is young and
doesn't cost 2 first-round picks. Is my point.
I really think even like the Brian Pace gave up 2 picks for a pass rusher. You don't think he would do it for Dak Prescott?
No, we're talking about the Jaguars.
And I think the Jags. I think there are a number of teams that would give up 2 first-round picks for Dak Prescott.
I mean, I would just like to point out the last time we had a train conversation about Leonard Fournette in the 5th round. You clearly had no idea what kind of compensation people would agree with. So I'm not sure I can take your opinion seriously, Sean.
I do agree that the number of teams who would give up 2 first-round picks right now is lower than it normally would be. But there are if Dak Prescott is on the market for 2 first-round picks, I believe the Carolina Panthers should make that move. Give up 2 first-round picks and get.
That's fine. That I'm more on board with than some of the other teams you guys mentioned.
I mean,
I still think Bridgewater is the long-term answer.
I think Green Bay Packers should do it.
That I would do for sheer comedic value.
Rodgers to the Cowboys for Dak Prescott.
That's actually kind of spicy.
You can't do that straight.
And the Packers would have to throw in a pick.
Jerry Jones would do that in a second.
Wait, the Packers have to throw in a pick? No.
He's 37, 36, and Dak's 20.
The Cowboys have to throw in a pick.
I think it would be Dak.
No.
You're right.
Do I have it right? Yeah.
So the Packers give Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love.
No, and Jordan Love, just a pick.
What are you going to do with Jordan Love now that you got Dak?
He's still got to sit for 2 years.
The same thing that he's going to have to do, play.
I guess that sort of reiterates what a terrible selection.
I think it's Aaron Rodgers and a 2nd-round pick for Dak.
I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, you would?
Packers.
Okay. I would be devastated if that happened.
Why? Oh, because the Packers.
If the Packers went from Favre to Rodgers and then stumbled into 26-year-old Dak Prescott somehow, I would be livid.
Would you veto or greenlight Aaron Rodgers plus a 2nd-round pick to the Cowboys for Dak Prescott? Does that seem reasonable?
Wait, what's the trade? Aaron Rodgers plus a 2nd-round pick to the Cowboys?
For Dak.
For Dak Prescott?
Does that seem fair?
I mean, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm probably not doing that.
Yeah.
How about Aaron Rodgers in a 1st?
God, that's steep.
I would do that.
It's, I think that's cheaper than 2 first-round picks.
Getting rid of a 36-year-old quarterback.
No, I mean, yeah. Like it's like instead of 2 first-round picks, you're getting a 37-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, but this ain't Josh McCown we're talking about.
Ryan, if Dak was available, the Steelers should be interested.
I agree.
Yeah. No, I'm on board with that.
That was the first team I was going to suggest, and we somehow just got away from them. Like, I think the Steelers are going to be a good team. They got a good roster. They're 1st-round picks. 2 first-round. What about Ben in a 1st-round pick for Dak?
Oh, please. I'll drive Ben to Dallas.
Well, what if we included Duck Hodges?
Then Duck can drive him.
All right. Ryan mentioned my Patriots tweet. Coming up after the break, we will explain why Cam Newton might not be going to New England and tell you why Mitchell Trubisky isn't long for Chicago.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, so really quickly on the Pats and Cam Newton, I still think they could potentially sign Cam.
Wait a second. Are there rumors that he might be going there? I haven't seen those.
No. After Andy Dalton landed with the Cowboys, gotcha. On a deal that is not crazy, but, you know, the Patriots probably, you know, can't afford it without making some other moves.
They can't afford a 1-year, $3 to $7 million deal.
I mean, they have $1.3 million in cap space.
All right.
I mean, they would have to make something. They would have to do something else. But they didn't sign Jameis at $1 million. You know. So, I tweeted that the Patriots are trying to let the entire they didn't sign Jameis. They didn't sign Andy Dalton. There have been no rumors that they have interest in Cam.
They didn't draft Jordan Love.
They traded out of a spot with Jordan Love still on the board at 23. I think they're making it abundantly clear that they like Jared Stidham, that they're going to go with Jared Stidham. Now, everybody's like, that means they're tanking. I don't think Bill Belichick's tanking. I think he likes Jared Stidham.
Prisco thinks they're tanking for Trevor.
That's what JLC thinks, too.
I don't think they're going to be bad enough, though,
to
get the first pick. Right?
But, like, if why are you tanking for Trevor and throwing a season away at 68 years old? The oldest coach in NFL history ever, 72. Belichick might coach for a while, but I don't think he's coaching till he's 80. So what, he's going to tank and get 4 years of Trevor Lawrence, maybe five?
Frisco's theory is that he is tanking. Did he say this on the podcast, Eva? I think he did.
He said on HQ for sure. I know. He keeps talking about it.
Well, his theory is that Belichick is, I think a GM or somebody told him that they think this is, so Frisco got it from somewhere else, but he said that they think Belichick is going to tank for Trevor Lawrence, get Trevor Lawrence, coach for 3 or 4 more years, and then turn the Patriots over to Steve Belichick.
What's Josh McDaniel doing?
See, now I buy that. If you tank to get Trevor Lawrence because you're turning the team over to your son, that makes sense. But if you're...
why would Josh McDaniels come back?
Belichick, this is a long con revenge game by Belichick for that Broncos Patriots game back in like. gotcha. You didn't give me a Josh. Yeah, Josh McDaniels like fist pumping with a clipboard on the way to midfield. Belichick's like, you mother.
But during that whole McDaniels thing when he left for the Colts and then spurned them, it was quick to come out from the Patriots saying that, like, no, we didn't promise McDaniels he was going to be the head coach because the original report had suggested that was the case. But and then the Patriots kind of pushed it out saying, nah, that's not happening. We didn't promise this dude anything. We gave him a raise.
Right, but they talked to him. Like he said, he talked, I think, to Belichick and Robert Kraft. I think that's what the reports were at the time, in between the opportunity to go to Indy and not. So it wasn't like he just did it out of his own volition. I think he had some prompting from the organization that he was currently employed.
Yeah, I mean.
A breach.
I wouldn't be surprised if Josh McDaniels is not the next head coach.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
I don't think it behooves Josh McDaniels to be the next head coach of the Patriots. Like the next head coach of the Patriots.
I don't think it behooves Steve Belichick either.
That's fair. That's a fair point. Fair point, dog. All right. Let's move on to fifth year options. I was wrong. I'll own it. I'll take the L. I said the Bears.
Why did you think that was going to happen, Mr. Trubisky, fifth year?
Because you can rescind the fifth year option. You can.
They didn't even want to pretend like he thought he was going to be something other beyond 2020, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but like if Mitchell Trubisky goes out and wins a starting job over Nick Foles and has a really good year in 2020, then the Bears are going to have a franchise tag him.
What's a good year? That requires a franchise tag, by the way.
25 passing touchdowns and 4,000 passing yards.
Sean, would you want to franchise him 25 touchdowns, 4,000 passing yards? Pay him $31 million a year.
Probably 32, 33.
I mean, that's like literally the worst case scenario because it's right in the middle. Like I would either want him to be terrible or like incredibly good. I'd rather honestly have the terrible so you don't get suckered into giving
him. So if he throws 35 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 4,000 yards.
Yeah, I think you have to tag him because you're not going to be in a position in the draft high enough to get one of the good guys. But the defense is still in their window, so you run it back, and if he does it again, then you give him the long-term deal. So, yeah, I would do it.
No, worst-case scenario is you end up in Bortles land.
But, again, I will defend Bortles. He earned that contract based on the way he played in the playoffs. They didn't lose to the Patriots because of him.
That is precisely my point.
Well, that's not Bortles' fault. He played well.
I'm not blaming Trubisky here. I'm going to blame the Bears when they give him the contract.
No. The defense was the reason they lost to the Patriots in that AFC Championship game, the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, right, you pay him Bortles. You have to pay him because he played well, if that's what the point you're making. But then he showed up as regular old Blake Bortles the next season, and you got what you paid.
I mean, who could have seen that coming except literally every person on Twitter when the deal happened?
But that wasn't a high market deal either. It wasn't a big money contract. It was north of what Andy Dalton made, but not by a lot, I don't feel like.
$19 million a year or something?
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. I mean, if you pay Trubisky $19 million a year.
It just wasn't fine. It wasn't fine.
All right. But, I mean, if Trubisky has – what are those numbers?
And $24.8 million would have been Trubisky's fifth-year option.
And what did – it's
guaranteed for injury only. So, like, unless I just read the CBA wrong and –
No, I think that's right unless they changed it in the most recent CBA. I think
that's – No, I'm saying, like, I don't know if – I don't think – I'm 90% sure that – draftees from the previous CBAs, their fifth year options did not change with the new CBA.
I think you're right. That's my understanding of it.
So
the risk with the Trubisky thing is the last 2 years, his shoulder has been a problem. And maybe the Bears obviously know about more about his health than we do. Sure. And maybe it's still just not healthy. And maybe it's never going to be that healthy because he didn't run at all last year when the year before, that was why he was good enough for the Bears to make the playoffs because he could run. They could use his athleticism. I don't think Matt Nagy's enough of an idiot to be like, we're not going to have you run because we want to prove you can throw from the pocket. Mm-hmm. I think it was, we don't think you can run with that shoulder.
But to clarify what Brinson was saying, our very own Joel Corey actually explained this. So the 2017 first round picks are grandfathered in under the 2011 rules. So the option is guaranteed for fifth year only. Next year for injury only. With 2018, it gets more interesting because if you pick up the option, it's guaranteed. It's fully guaranteed at the time you pick up the option. So there's no way out. But that won't start until next year with the 2018 first round picks.
But even though the those guys were drafted, the 2018 guys were obviously drafted before the new CBA. It's just this year. They didn't want to change it for teams this year as they were negotiating it. They're like, what if we sign it after the
because they didn't know when the CBA was going to pass.
Exactly. Yeah.
So by the way, listen, 2017, Blake Bortles' year, he led them to the AFC Championship game. 3,700 yards, 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and he got that new deal based, somewhat on the season, but also mostly on the playoffs, I feel like. So, I mean, those numbers aren't far off from your 25,000 that you mentioned.
That's why I set the numbers. I mean, not because of Bortles. I'm just saying, like, 4,000, anybody can go out and throw 4,000 passing yards with 25 passing touchdowns. Like, any starting NFL quarterback, if they do that.
Not Joe Burrow next year.
Yeah, that's low for Joe B. But I don't know. I agree with Sean. There's a lot of risk, and the problem is you don't want to get Bortles.
He could throw 40 touchdowns. I'm not franchising him. You know what you have in Mitch Trubisky. He's not going to turn the corner.
Well, the other part of that is, do you think any other team's going to go out there and give him $25 million per year next year? Probably not. So, like, if he does play
not when
okay.
You get first for Dak Prescott.
Or, the one team will, the Texans, but no other team will do it.
And turn him into a running back.
No. That's the other – Breach makes a good point.
And, with the Bears not picking up the fifth-year option, it's actually – if you actually look at how Ryan Pace has handled this in the past, he did the same thing with Kyle Fuller, who was – now he made first-team All-Pro 2 years ago, and he's developed into a really good player. But coming into his contract season, he had been injured the last couple of years. He had lost his starting spot, and Ryan Pace did not – pick up his fifth-year option, and then Fuller balled out, and then he applied the transition tag. The Packers gave him an offer that the Bears matched. So Pace has done this before.
Yeah, that's a great point. By the way, the deadline for this was 11:59 midnight on Sunday last night, or midnight, or first thing today, and we saw that of the top five picks, four of the top five picks from the 2017 NFL draft. It's insane that in a draft that has Patrick, this is so perfectly NFL draft, in a draft that has Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, top five players that were selected were Myles Garrett, who had his option picked up, but, ended the season suspended for 8 games from swinging his helmet at Mason Rudolph, which in hindsight, maybe everybody should swing their helmet at Mason Rudolph. Just kidding. The Steelers fan, sure.
Just so we're clear, you are the Mason Rudolph of this podcast.
Thank you.
I see it.
Does that make you Duck Hodges?
You keep going back. Why are you fascinated with Duck Hodges? Yes, it makes me Duck Hodges. I won the hollering contest in Spivey's Corner.
That's a real thing, though.
That's right. You know it.
Yeah. Number two was Trubisky. Three, Solomon Thomas. I love Thomas coming out of Stanford. He never got it going with the 49ers. That was declined. Four, Leonard Fournette. Declined by the Jaguars, a no-brainer. By all accounts, they think he's a locker room problem, too. And number five, Corey Davis, declined by the Titans. I think it's at $15 million for Corey Davis there at number five, so you can't give him that. I mean, you can't risk it.
You got A.J. Brown in the second round. Why would you pay Corey Davis $15 million?
But I can see Corey Brown having a good year.
Corey Davis could have a good year, but that means you were right not to pay him 15. By the way, we're talking about this Blake Bortles thing. This is an example of an organization compounding their problems. All right, we'll get Blake Bortles. We have to make it work. We'll get him a running back, Leonard Fournette, at 4-0-2. A year from now, neither one of those guys will be on the team. I think Blake Bortles was 2013 first-round pick and then 2017. It's just if you can compound these mistakes. I mean, I'm sure Sean can tell you stories about Mr. Trubisky as well in terms of compounding mistakes in the years after drafting him. But it's just that's an example of you got to get it right, and there's a reason the team picked near the top often.
Here's the Jaguars last, what is it, 7 first round picks. Blaine Gabbert, no 5th year option. Or no, I guess, but anyway, Blaine Gabbert, Justin Blackmon, Luke Jokel, Blake Bortles, Dante Fowler, Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette. For those wondering, Dave Caldwell, the current GM for the Jaguars, his first pick was Jokel. This guy, Dave Caldwell, Dave Teflon Caldwell. This guy is unbelievable.
And I've said this multiple times on this podcast, but I really do think the Jags taking Fournette there is worse than the Bears trading up for Trubisky, because at least the Bears try to get a quarterback and they whiffed on the quarterback, but the Jags just had the complete wrong philosophy. And if they really wanted to get a running back, they could have taken Christian McCaffrey. And I don't really think that's hindsight, because I remember at the time a lot of people were banging the table for Christian McCaffrey over Leonard Fournette.
No, it's not hindsight. Christian McCaffrey would take the role, and like, Pete Prisco reported multiple times leading up to the draft that the Jaguars loved Deshaun Watson, and they passed on Deshaun Watson for Leonard Fournette. And they made a run to the AFC title game. Deshaun Watson tore his ACL, and history has since flipped pretty big time.
And the other interesting thing about the 2017 draft is we're mentioning Corey Davis. It's not like there were only bad receivers in this draft, and like, this is hindsight, because a lot of the good receivers were taken much later. But this was a draft that had Mike Williams 2 picks later. I think he was a good pick. And then you had Juju in the second round, Cooper Kupp in the third, Chris Godwin in the third, and Kenny Golladay in the third. So it's really interesting to see where the actually good receivers ended up getting taken. It wasn't at the top of the first round. It was in the middle rounds.
George Kittle in the 5th round too. I would say that Mike Williams has been a bad pick relative to the people that, I mean, you know, he was taken before Christian McCaffrey, John Ross, Patrick Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun Watson.
The lesson there is that maybe you should be careful taking wide receivers so early, because I feel like they don't seem to always work out. And we always talk about guys in the second, third round that seem to hit it. So just, you know, be wary.
Hey, did the Packers send you that little talking point right there? Don't take receivers in the first round. They don't pan out.
You want to hear people on Twitter saying that?
You want to hear an interesting conspiracy theory? Depending on what happens with college football season in the next coming months, if it's delayed or maybe doesn't happen for whatever reason, are the Packers going to take a wide receiver in the supplemental draft? Should some of those big names come out? That's just something to keep an eye on.
No, the supplemental draft is fascinating because it's in July. We don't know when people, like, if you're Travis Etienne or even, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think Trevor Lawrence
come out.
But he would be eligible after this college football season. So if there's not going to be a season, they, in theory, would grant him eligibility to leave now.
But, yeah, the supplemental draft's in July. So you're doing a lot of forward thinking to figure out who's eligible, who isn't.
I think Trevor Lawrence would just gamble on, like, you're not going to get the money you would get from a number one overall. You know, like, you would just gamble and just sit out, just not play in college football, and then still be the number one pick next year if you're
Trevor. That's right.
But like a Travis Etienne might be like, I don't think he'll do it because he already decided to go back. But like guys who went back to school, but now realize that they might be distance learning and won't be playing football, maybe they take a leap. The two guys as of our recording that we have not heard about, sort of surprisingly, because we recorded this at like 6:45 or 6 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, Hassan Reddick of the Cardinals. I can't imagine they're picking up his option. And Malik Hooker of the Colts. Given he's a really good player and has been good at times at the NFL level, but he has such an injury history, I would think they might pass on it. So
yeah, that'll be interesting.
John Ross, of course, didn't have his picked up.
How do you feel about that breach? Because our buddy Paul Daner said a week ago that there's no way that's
happening. He said no way in hell.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, I mean, that was a no-brainer. That wasn't happening. It's the same thing with Corey Davis. You're not going to justify – even if you thought John Ross started to turn the corner next year just because he was in a more open offense, you're not giving him $15.8 million to catch 40 passes. So you let him play. And if he goes lights out next year, you got him under contract for one year, then great. Then you deal with it going into 2021. And, you know, if he becomes a weapon for Joe Burrow, that's when you look to lock him up. But he hasn't done anything to earn $15.8 million. So there's no way. They weren't picking up. It was just no-brainer.
It's so fascinating. I mean, like, obviously the first 5 picks were bad. I mean, but, like, the Jets at Jamal Adams at 6, Chargers at 7 with Mike Williams, Panthers at 8 with Christian McCaffrey, and Ross at 9 with.
Did you mention the Chargers? What they did with Mike Williams?
They picked up his option, I believe.
That's sort of surprising.
Yeah, the exercises. Yeah.
You mentioned that he hasn't been lights out.
He hadn't been healthy either necessarily, but those five teams, the Jets, Chargers, Panthers, and Bengals, have all since drafted or signed a quarterback with a top five pick or an expensive free agent contract. And Patrick Mahomes, of course, went 10th overall. It's just interesting to think about how history might have played out differently.
Let me just say this real quick that because I hear this from Bengals fans a lot. And even, if you want to look at Jacksonville too, the Bengals weren't taking a quarterback in 2017. You look from 2011 to 2016, Dalton had been to the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. You're not replacing your quarterback. There had only been one or two other quarterbacks in the NFL over that stretch that had taken their team to the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. Like, you're not replacing that quarterback. So that's not happening. And I do agree that Jacksonville was dumb for drafting Fournette, but I could see their logic
Andy Dalton was 30 in the 2017 season. It wouldn't be outrageous to draft a long-term replacement if you thought you could groom Mahomes. That wouldn't
he was 29 because his birthday hadn't happened yet. It was that October. So you're not going to draft.
Do it up.
Your quarterback has been to the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. You're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round if you think Dalton still has 7 or 8 years if he's playing past 35. So the Bengals were not drafting a quarterback. So
2 years later, they benched him for Ryan Finley. Good call.
He's 32. It's completely different. The Bengals
and the whole thing is no one knew Mahomes is going to be Mahomes. If everyone knew Mahomes is going to be Mahomes, all those teams would have taken him. But I take Breach's point.
And you don't know that the Bengals aren't making the playoffs in 2017, 2018, 2019. All you have is the information coming
I know that they didn't make the playoffs in any of those 3 years.
Well, you're talking like you knew that in April 2017.
They won 14 games in those 3 years.
I'm very well aware of that, Brenton. I have them all tattooed on my wrist.
You can make the same argument for the Panthers too. I mean, because Newton had been the MVP. Newton, a better player, a better quarterback, obviously, than an Andy Dalton
type. But not as many wins.
had been the MVP in 2015. So the Panthers weren't thinking about drafting a quarterback.
That's what I was saying. So you can't just say I would say even Jacksonville said, hey, we've only had this guy 3 years. Maybe they were on the fence about a quarterback, so you can give them some crap. But, you know, they shouldn't have drafted a running back. That was just dumb. So, you look at that top 10, who was in a position who would have grabbed Mahomes?
Did you say the Jets, Brinson? Because that's actually an interesting –
Jets drafted Darnold the next year.
Yeah, but they started Josh – they entered that year with Josh McCown, I think, as their starter, and Bryce Petty as their backup.
And Mike Maccagnan was the GM, so we just throw everything out the window. The Chargers thought they were in a good spot with Phillip Rivers too. He's older, but they thought that he was going to finish out his career. All I'm saying is that we ripped the Packers to death for the Jordan Love thing, and understandably so, maybe more so because of the Aaron Rodgers deal, but if people had a good evaluation on Mahomes, they shouldn't have. I'm just saying that all those teams ended up taking a quarterback. They weren't forward thinking enough to know what was going to happen.
Well, let me ask you this. If Mahomes, if Andy Reid didn't somehow have the foresight to trade up and get Mahomes, where do you think he falls in this draft?
Arizona was going to take him at 13, 100%.
And you think he would have thrived in Arizona?
Not 50 touchdown, 5,000 passing yard thrive, but I think Patrick Mahomes was inherently going to be a good player, but Andy Reid unlocked everything very quickly. And look, the Chiefs, nobody thought the Chiefs were taking a quarterback. They had Alex Smith.
Yeah. And I'm actually reading that it looks like Sean Payton was thinking about taking.
Traded to 10. Payton liked him at 11. Yeah. And they had Drew Brees and lighten things up.
Drew Brees was 37. That's old. That's back to your point where you do have an old quarterback you have to look to replace.
Well, I mean, yeah, but he's Drew Brees. He's 37. I'd rather have a 42-year-old Drew Brees than a 25-year-old Andy Dalton.
All right. Just remember, I'm the Jordan.
That was just slander. I'm sorry.
Jordan guy. By the way, I wanted to ask you before you guys refused to let me talk the last 5 minutes. Why would the Buccaneers exercise the option on O.J. Howard? What's the thinking there?
Have you ever heard the phrase pot committed?
They were trying to trade him 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. I don't know.
throws out some cliche, and if you don't buy it, okay, I was just –
No, I mean, what is the other explanation?
Don't exercise the option.
I would say that they looked at the price, $6 million, thought it was a low enough that you know what, we'll just pay the six to see if he can finally pan out. Playing with someone like Tom Brady, playing with, you know, Gronk's going to be there. If he can't thrive this year and the following year, he's never going to thrive. You just kick him to the curb after year five.
Not to mention, like, this year is probably, like, it wouldn't be that shocking if he finally exploded. And if he does finally explode, then you have him for relatively cheap the following year.
Yeah, I think tight ends. I don't know how
six,
much.
$6 million for O.J. Howard in his fifth year is very, very cheap. Right. And remember, this is – these guys are going into their fourth year.
Right.
So you have the – I mean, that's not – I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Takaris McKinley. I think the Tack McKinley one, a little interesting, declined, because all the Falcons have done this offseason is brag about how many first round picks they have, and they don't even want to keep one of their first round picks around for.
You know the best part? So they traded for Charles Harris, declined his too.
They did do that. That's right. Evan Ingram's an easy one to exercise. Jadavious White, easy. Taco Charlton was cut. David Njoku, a little surprising that they exercised that. But again, the tight end position, $6 million. If he blows up in his fourth year, which is entirely possible, it's worth it. Reuben Foster declined. No surprise there. Adoree Jackson exercised, even though Corey Davis was not. Derek Barnett, Marlon Humphrey, easy choices to exercise as well. Oh, Taco Charlton was picked up by the Chiefs. I'm sure he'll have 10 sacks next year.
Oh, it was.
Has anyone else?
And finally, we get our barbecue tacos.
That we talked about the podcast about. On Friday.
How? That was a good little move by me, right? The taco.
It was entertaining.
I interrupted Sean to make my, how come the Jets haven't signed him yet?
That show got off the rails.
Well, the A block did.
It's a Friday during pandemic, man. What can you expect?
Yeah. I've been thinking about tacos all weekend, too, because of that.
Why don't you go get some?
There's some waiting downstairs for me right now. So let's wrap up the show so I can go eat my tacos. All right. What are you guys having for dinner? Just kidding. I don't care. It's Monday anyway. So I'm going to go get my tacos. Everybody have a great Monday. Pandemic is rolling along. Subscribe, rate, and review. And we will have RJ White on the show to talk some 2021 draft plus gambling. And maybe take a look back at last year, or the last draft. Yeah, we'll talk. We'll just talk to RJ. It'll be fun. See you guys tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Trek all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.